Welcome back to the Up North podcast. I'm Sarah Yacoub.
And I'm Kirk Bankstead.
And I'm Pat Kreitlow. And happy to be back. And Kirk, you've got your progressive beer beverage, I assume. We haven't done a good Minocqua Brewing Company commercial for a while here, but
there it is.
And I've got my, it's in my Liney's Oktoberfest glass, but it's actually the Canoe Paddle Kolsch.
And we're both drinking Kolsch's today. Are you, you're Kreitlow and Bankstead. I'm Norwegian, but you're German. So we got the German stuff style going on today.
We got the beverages covered one way or another, and we are happy to be back and happy to thank our wonderful hosts here at Newstalk 92.7 in Madison, our broadcast home every Wednesday evening at 7. You can use the Devil Radio app to catch our show or any of the fine programs here on the home of Devil's Advocates Radio. As a podcast, you can catch us weekends on our website, upnorthpodcast.com, and all of the usual places where you subscribe and listen to us. As for my day job, I would invite you to discover Wisconsin's top stories and headlines over at upnorthnewswi.com or search your favorite social media feeds for Up North News WI. Don't forget the WI. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as well.
And it looks like our guest from Up North News has arrived, and he's getting ready to put on that winter layer with some butter burgers with a giant cheese curd on it. So you will be prepared for that cold weather.
There you go. Reporter JT Saskowski joined his colleague Christina Liefering along with thousands of other equally curious diners to taste what was an April Fool's gag come to life. JT, how you doing? And have you come out of the cheese coma yet?
I have, Pat, and I'm doing good. I have to say that it wasn't actually too much of a coma. I felt as a Wisconsinite invigorated having eaten the
It's like you were just you're feeding your soul, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And I had let the anticipation build because Christina and I had agreed to meet at Culver's here in Madison, where I'm at, over on the east side. But I have most of the Culver's in my area memorized. So when she said east side Culver's, my brain immediately jumped to one. I went over there, and Christina had gone to the one on Cottage Grove Road, which in my mind is the Cottage Grove Road Culver's. It's completely separate, a very different experience.
Of course.
Yeah. And so we spent some time. There was a lineup of cars and people out the door around the corner. And we spent some time just texting back and forth before I finally realized I was at the wrong location and had to hightail it over there. So there, I had that time to build that anticipation and work my own energy up before I actually got to sample the thing.
And Christina actually videoed herself walking out to her car and was kind of singing a little tune of anticipation about the burger as well, which, you know, a lot of folks don't sing on their way to Culver's, but Christina was ready for it.
She's a consummate performer and professional.
And what was your verdict? We want people to watch the report over on Up North News, but you can go ahead and do a spoiler alert on that part.
Yeah. Spoilers. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, from the moment that I bit into it, almost I was just like gushing with praise for it.
Or was it gushing with squeaky stuff all over your face? Is that
It was? Christina's burger was, that was something we were sure to get on camera, was all of the cheese oozing out of her. She couldn't help but squeeze it and give that that visual of what the curd burger was. It really lended itself to video in the way that it, you know, it had a life of its own, the way it oozed and blobbed around.
So, JT, I know we could talk about Kurder burgers all night long, but a quick question. Are you from up north Wisconsin at all, or
My family is. My dad's side of the family is from the Land O'Lakes area, so not too far from Minocqua, Kirk. And I spent all my summers up there with my grandparents at their longtime home on Big Lake in Vilas County.
Oh, nice.
So I do have northern Wisconsin roots, but eventually my dad moved south and met a good Wisconsin farm girl, settled down, and had me.
That's a good thing to do. Trust me.
Yeah. So yeah, Pat's got his own roots are settling with a good Wisconsin farm women, right? Mm-hmm. Or just one, I guess, a girl.
Just one for now.
Yeah. Just one for now. So JT, quick question: you did more than just do a Kurder burger. You went up north. you got some stories. You know, our audience is in Madison right now, but they're all up north listeners on the podcast. They love to hear what you discovered and what you enjoyed.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So I my first big assignment in my time with Up North News was heading up to the Ashland Bayfield area, where I gathered a whole bunch of different stories. One on the algae blooms on Lake Superior, the one that is just coming out today and tomorrow that we're rolling out some of my reporting on was some work that was done on a Superfund site in Ashland itself to make some of the lakefront there suitable, not just for human use, but also for as a potential fishery and spawning area for fish. And really cleaning up a lot of that city's industrial past and moving it into its more, you know, outdoorsy and vacation land future. But I was up there for a whole host of things. I got to experience Bayfield's Apple Festival as well as plenty of stops on the way up there. I made sure to hit the top of Rib Mountain and have dinner in Manitowish waters at Little Bohemia Lodge and check out John Dillinger's bullet holes there. So it was quite the experience. It was 4 days of go nonstop reporting work. And I've been able to unpack for the last month a lot of the different stories and stuff that I got while I was up in that area.
So. Sarah? Yeah. With those algae blooms, I was reading that there's some connection to climate change. Explain correct. That.
Yeah. So the first time that algal blooms ever happened on Lake Superior that we know of that have been confirmed was in 2012. Very recent. Algal blooms are very tough to pin down exactly when they're happening. People can report them, but report them falsely to DNR. DNR has to go out there and try to verify that they're happening. And in those just few hours that it happens, the wind can shift direction and these delicate algae blooms can disperse and then you won't have anything to see. But so far as we're aware, they just started happening in 2012. And they really seem to be tied to two things. Some of the research what I learned about is that some of the research is still ongoing, but some of the early conclusions that that researchers in the area, especially with the University of Minnesota Duluth, have some of the conclusions that it seems like they're about to draw is that the lake water of Lake Superior is the fastest warming of the Great Lakes. So that is a climate change issue. And that means that algal blooms can happen more often. The conditions are right for them more often. And also that they tend to follow large storm events. And obviously with climate change, we tend to get a lot more severe weather. And so following a severe storm, there'll be a lot of runoff. All of the chemicals that come in with that runoff end up in the lake, and it can help feed the algae blooms. And a lot of times, I think people lose why algae blooms are important or you know, what the problem is with them. But it's because they can produce toxins as they begin to break down and die off. And it's a real concern when it comes to animals and children, because animals and children in the water don't necessarily know they can't swallow it and imbibe it. And you can get they can do some pretty gnarly things to your internal organs and also a lot of skin irritation and that and things along those lines. They also tend to be indicative of unhealthy ecosystems. So it's something that is concerning to researchers and experts. And it's something that I wanted to at least make sure we were keeping an eye on, not only because one of my beats is water quality, but also because it could be a sign of things to come for the Lake Superior region.
So TJ, I just wanted to follow up, you know, you had a lot of fun stuff too, and I don't want to dwell on this too much, but that weirded me out because I thought Lake Superior was the coldest lake, like among the Great Lakes. It just seemed like that was always the biggest one. It, you know, every time I go up to Bayfield, it's like there's a gale of wind. It just seems cold. That's scary to me that Lake Superior is warming up faster than the other lakes. Why is that? It's so north. It's like the most north lake, it seems like to me.
Right. So, I mean, a lot of it probably does stem from the fact that it is so cold. It has a lot. It can warm a lot faster. But I mean, that we got to be careful when we talk about the issue of climate change, not to couch it from that, you know, that perspective of I just went outside and made a snowball, therefore climate change is not happening. right? You know, Lake Superior may feel cold, but if on average it is warmer, that means on average things like cyanobacteria blooms can happen more often, that the conditions over a period of time, and when we're talking about climate change, we're talking over periods of decades and centuries, that these conditions will begin to happen more often.
Well, there you go, JT, using science and research and facts again. I think we know, you know, the track record of that lately, but we do appreciate you looking for it. And then going to have some fun as well. So did you really go to, I don't know that it's one of the smallest record stores ever, but it looked rather tiny.
I did, yes. I stopped in at the Vinyl Vault in Washburn, which is run by this guy by the name of Steve Cawtherman, who worked out in Madeline Island for over a decade, I'm told, and had all kinds of fun stories about his time out there. But after he semi-retired, he ended up going to work for the Washburn Cultural Center, which is a gem in and of itself. But then inside this gem is another smaller gem. It used to be an old bank building, and they had an old bank vault in there, and he wanted to turn it into something cool. So he brought in his record collection and started selling records out of this vault, and it very quickly took on a name for itself, and people in the area learned it was there, and it sort of became this local destination, this local oddity, this tourist destination. And so I got the chance to talk to him and to profile that, and he is a very talkative guy. And I think the next time that I go up to the Bayfield County area, I'm not going to plan anything, and instead I'm just going to call Steve and ask him what I should do up there, because he had the inside line on every single person, every single story, and every single experience that you should have. So I encourage anybody who's going up to the Bayfield area to stop in Washburn and talk to Steve Cawtherman at the Washburn Cultural Center, because that was just an experience. And also stand inside that tiny, tiny, tiny record store. It can't be more than 20 square feet.
Did you buy anything? Or if you didn't, what was the most interesting record you saw?
So I wanted to buy stuff. I didn't have the chance to look around because Steve talked my ear off so much. I had made a plan to be there and talk to him for maybe 30 minutes. But after an hour had gone by, I was looking at my watch and I was running out of sunlight, and I had to get more shots yet before the day ended. So I had to hightail it out of there. And so it wasn't until after the fact, when I actually got to sit down and review my footage and cut our video together, that I realized some of the fun stuff that he had in there. And it was really just about the mass selection that he had. That he had some of these old Aretha Franklin records up on his wall that I would have definitely come away with given the chance, but he didn't give me the chance. He talked himself out of a customer.
So I wish I'd have been able to show, again, you can see this over at upnorthnewswi.com, but I wanted to show the footage to Kirk, because I'm pretty sure, given Kirk's advanced age, that he probably has every record that probably was in the vinyl vault. What do you think, bud?
Oh my God, Pat, come on. You don't sell me. By the way, my musical knowledge in the 70s and 80s is terrible, but my knowledge in the 20s and 1890s is pretty good, because I had listened to classical music. I love the story, JT, because this is what Up North is all about. Like, there's always another bar in another random road while you're kind of driving. You're either, you know, you're just like finding lakes, you're finding bars, you're finding people who have been up there forever, who are telling you like the secret cool spots to go. And that's what I loved about visiting as a tourist, and then what I loved about living there is that it was an endless discovery when I was up there.
Absolutely. I don't want to get too much into the bar scene up there, considering my boss's boss is on this radio show here. But yes, I did
the,
make some,
you mean
time
the one drinking to, a beer? Sure, go right
some
ahead.
Some of the nightlife.
That is the magic is the hole in the wall places, the small places that you don't find nearly in as many places, that either have amazing atmosphere or great burgers and food, whether it's, you know, the Amber Inn in Eau Claire, still my favorite burger, or there used to be a place on 64 outside of Cornell, Handy's, where the food was just magical. You had no, how could a place surrounded by nothing but, you know, woods and fields have such amazing food? But it's just, part of it is I'm sure the atmosphere, but part of it too is just they've got talents that they've been honing for years and years. Was there any place that you wanted to get to that you didn't? Or in other words, when that boss's boss lets you get back on the road again, is there a place you want to make sure to stop into next?
Well, if you're talking specifically up north and in the
any region or no, any attraction.
Man, of things that I did not get to see. You're putting me on the spot here, Pat. And normally you only do that during our pitch meetings, but
I know it feels like it's 8:30 in the morning again here, but that's okay.
It really does.
Well, let me ask you this, JT. Did you get to do any agate hunting? Because Lake Superior has the best rocks I've ever seen and all sorts of fun agates to be found.
I did not, unfortunately, sir. So Pat, that'll be my answer. You send me up there again and I will do a full video on agate hunting along Lake Superior. How does that sound for growth content for
it
you?
It is a deal. JT Seskowski, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Can't wait to do it again. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. When we come back, an update on the proposed pipeline that has stirred up new fears of contamination for our pristine waters up north. We'll be right back.